Robinhood Radio presents Agriculture from Turkana Farms. Here's Peter Davies.
It came as quite a shock a few years ago when Mark and I learned that we had been living as horticultural outlaws for decades. Not intentionally, of course, since Mark values his law license too much to risk losing it. I, on the other hand, if it comes to getting the plants I hunger for, have been known to turn a blind eye. But let me explain. In the 80s, when we lived in Sag Harbor, we in all innocence ordered gooseberry bushes and currant bushes, from which nursery and where it was located we no longer remember. At the time, we were totally unaware that raising and importing gooseberry and currant bushes had become illegal in New York State, as well as in a number of other states, in the early 1900s. It was thought then that these two ribes, gooseberries and currants, which are of the same genus, acted as hosts to the white pine blister rust that was threatening white pines, a belief that has since been disproved. But this misinformation still lives on in such sources as Wikipedia. New York State, through the considerable efforts of several New York State growers who wanted to revive the cultivation of currants, belatedly lifted the ban on currants and gooseberries in 2003. This meant that when Mark and I moved in 2000 to Germantown and planted our gooseberries and currants at Turkana Farms, that we were once again horticultural outlaws. It was only when we heard the news that the ban had been lifted that we realized that we had been outlaws all these years. What inspires me to return to this subject, I discussed it in reference to currants a few years ago, is of course that our gooseberry bushes are now laden with berries, which will soon be ripe for the picking. While gooseberries became in the 19th century so popular that they approached being a food fad, there were actually gooseberry clubs springing up all over Britain, and while as recently as the 1920s, New York farmers grew 2,700 acres of gooseberries, gooseberries are these days a relatively obscure fruit. There is presently no large-scale cultivation of the berries in the state, and they are not commonly seen in the fruit bins of supermarkets and only rarely in farmers' markets. If you have ever experienced the pleasure of eating a gooseberry, it is most likely the occasional one found in that old-fashioned canned fruit cocktail. Gooseberry is a small, green, grape-like berry with very faint white striping and a slightly tart flavor. While the berry can be eaten raw when ripe, it is customarily cooked in such things as pies and crumbles and made into jams. The most common variety of gooseberry, which is what we cultivate, produces green berries which soften as they ripen. In their early stages of ripeness, they remain green, but left on the bush longer, they turn a blush pink, then red, then purple, and take on more sweetness, but lose their firmness and crispness. There are also varieties of gooseberries that are red, some purple to black, from the very beginning. Most people find the name gooseberry intriguing. The goose, spelled goose, part of it is usually believed to be a corruption of either the Dutch word gruspis or the allied German grosser, which means curly berries, as does, coming from the same derivation, the French grossaille, so curly berries. In Britain, gooseberries are often informally referred to as goosegogs. And here's a bit of etymology that should interest you. In the 19th century, gooseberry bush was slang for pubic hair, and from this comes the British expression that babies are, quote, born under a gooseberry bush, unquote. When we planted our gooseberries here at the farm 17 years ago, we unwittingly put them in a row at the northern end of the vegetable garden, a location which is, because of the severe winter north winds, proved to be inhospitable to most very cold hardy shrubs. But our gooseberries, to our great pleasure, survived the harshest winters with no problems. We now realize, after doing some research, that the reason our gooseberries have thrived there is that the gooseberry is extremely hardy, thriving in Britain, well up into northern Scotland, and even more impressive, in Norway, gooseberries can be found growing wild almost as far north as the Arctic Circle. The flavor of the gooseberry is said to improve with increasing latitude. Fortunately, we ignored the nursery planting instructions, which specified full sun, and instead, going on our experience with gooseberries in Sag Harbor, placed our bushes so that they would have the partial shade of a row of catalpa trees. We now realize that while gooseberries might thrive in full sun in more northerly climes, they certainly would not, however, in the increasingly hot sun we are experiencing here these days. In fact, two of our bushes that grow outside the shade of the catalpas have not produced berries in years. Well, Mark and I have come to the conclusion that it is about time, after its almost century-long banishment, to welcome the gooseberry back into our diet. Why not try some in the weeks to come to see if we are right? Who knows? You may end up swept away in a new food fad and even join a gooseberry club.
Peter Davies and his partner Mark Scherzer are proprietors of Tricana Farms, specializing in heritage breeds of livestock on their 40-acre farm in Germantown, New York. Peter also presides over Tricana Odyssey, in which he customizes cultural tours of turkey for small groups, which he calls an insider's view of turkey. And his third hat is Tricana Gallery of Old and Antique Kilims, which he operates in the Wall Street area of Manhattan. Mark presides over his law firm, Mark Scherzer Law Office, which specializes in health law, also in the Wall Street area. Their farm website? TurkanaFarms.com. Their email, farm@TurkanaFarms.com, or 518-537-3815.